Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel reading for this Sunday, the third Sunday of the Blessed Coptic Month of Baba, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. It's about the man who was demon-possessed, and then he was mute and blind, and then Christ helped him and healed him. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. As I told you last week, the theme of this Coptic month is the power of Christ, the power of God. That Christ didn't just come with a message of salvation, but He came in the power of God. He was supported by the power of God because He is God. In the first Sunday, it was a paralytic man, so it was the power of Christ over sickness. Last Sunday, as we talked about, was the power of Christ over nature, and we talked last week about the power of God and how we understand it in our personal life. And then this week is the power of Christ over demons and over the kingdom of the devils. The fourth Sunday, God willing, next week is going to be over death, the son of the widow of Nain. There are many encounters of Christ with the demons in the Gospels. I counted at least 11, could be more. The man who's mute and blind from today, that's one account. And in this account, it was the famous time that the Jews told him, the prince of the demons is casting out demons. Beelzebub is casting out demons. And then the second time we heard about it was at the Sunday of Temptation, when we hear about it in the Great Lent, when Christ was tempted by the devil, the three famous temptations. And then the third was the demon in the synagogue that said, "You are the Holy One of God," and Christ rebuked him. And the fourth one was the famous one, was the man who was possessed by a whole legion of the demons. He said, "My name is Legion." He was the prince of that group of demons that possessed this one, and Christ ordered them to go to the swine, and He drove the swine into the sea. The fifth was Christ rebuking the demon that we hear in the Gospel of St. Luke every 11th hour in the Agbaya. This is the reading that Christ rebuked the demon, as they say, "You are Christ, you are the Son of God." The sixth was the disciples unable to drive out demon, and they asked Christ, "How come we couldn't drive out that demon?" The seventh was the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman who had her daughter sick and possessed. And then the eighth was Mary Magdalene. We read that in Mark and Luke. And the ninth was Jesus warning St. Peter about Satan. He said, "Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, to sift you like wheat. And God basically is not going to let this happen." That's what Christ told him. The tenth, Jesus sends disciples out with authority over demons. And then the 11th is that Christ says, by His own authority, His disciples and everybody will come after them will exorcise demons and will cast out demons by the same power that Christ gives. All these encounters in the Gospels are not just cool stories. Are not just stories that are put in to fill the account so the Gospel has so many pages. These accounts are very important, and it tells us the importance of the kingdom of the devil and the importance of the demons in our salvation, or to hinder rather our salvation. And in all those accounts, we clearly see who is the one that's powerful. In all those accounts, we see that Christ is the one that has authority over each and every single one of those instances. The demons who have terrorized the world for centuries are terrorized by Christ. The demons who control many, many, many people are controlled and under subjection by Christ. The demons who have wounded many are wounded by Christ. It's very important to understand, if the Gospel took the time to tell us about these accounts in the short ministry of Christ, in the 3-year ministry of Christ, we need to remember that the devil is real. And the warfare with the demons is real. And we have to take it very seriously. Because if we do not know our enemy, how are we going to fight it? If we don't acknowledge that our enemy is out to get us, how are we going to be serious in fighting him and is standing against him. How are we going to? The whole world, my beloved, is infested with demons. You can just look around. You can just look around. We were just talking yesterday in the Vesper praises, in the sermon for Vespers. Just the amount and the number of suicide has spiked from 1990s until now. 53% increase in males. 63% increase in females between 99 and 2017. Insanity. Demons are possessing many and controlling many. And many are under their bondage. Some people deny the existence of Satan and think this is something just in the past or myth or folklore, whatever they call it. But Satan himself is so committed to his cause, he cares so much about destroying so many, that he doesn't care if people deny his existence. He's okay with people saying he doesn't exist as long as his mission is accomplished. That's how crazy this is. That's how committed Satan is to his own cause and the destruction of many. As the church always reminds us in the Gospels and in the Bible and in the readings of the Agbaya and in the liturgical prayer, all envy, all temptation, all the work of Satan. All envy, all temptation, all the work of Satan. We cannot take that lightly if the church is constantly reminding us about that. And Christ, even in the Lord's Prayer, the third message, but deliver us from the evil one. The fourth message, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from that evil one. That's something that Christ had to ask for every time we pray, to be delivered from the evil one and his schemes. Know this, Satan uses everyone and everything he can use to get his message across. His agents could be the voice of our dear friends. It could be the voice of common sense. It could be the voice of a movie that we watch. It could be the voice of our biology teacher. It could be the voice of our coworker. It could be the voice of somebody we think is cool and smart, and everything he says, we just take it for granted. This could be the voice, the same voice of Satan. So we need to know that and be careful about all that. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, he said this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, should outsmart us. For we are not ignorant of his schemes, of his devices. So basically, St. Paul is saying, we have to know this fact that our enemy is trying to get us. That way, he doesn't outsmart us. Because we're not ignorant of his schemes. We know his ways. We know how treacherous he is and how he tries to trick people and destroy them. That's exactly what St. Paul said. We must be aware of his schemes and his ways to destroy us. We read in 1 Peter 5:8 about the devil as a roaring lion. A roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, pay attention, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. That's why one of the saints of the Eastern Church used to have this beautiful prayer and say, O Lord, our Lord, do not let us be food for our enemy. If Satan is a roaring lion trying to get whoever he can, the saint is praying, O Lord, our Lord, don't let me be food for that roaring lion. Don't let me be food for my enemy. All of us, my beloved, have taken this very seriously when we're baptized. And all of us have renounced Satan clearly when we were baptized, or at least somebody have renounced him on our behalf. So baptism is not just a past act. It's not just something that happened when we're babies and it's over and we're Christians and now it's all over. Baptism is something to be lived every day. Because baptism was a time when clearly we're moved from the domain of Satan, being slave to Satan, being one of his people, to being the people of Christ. From darkness to light, from death unto life. And that's exactly what the prayer of the baptism says. We stop belonging to the world of Satan and the kingdom of Satan. And we started to belong to the kingdom of our Lord, God and Savior, Christ. That's why, if you remember, if you have seen any of the baptisms lately, we look west and we clearly say, I renounce you, Satan, and all your evil works and all your services and everything has to do with you. I renounce you, I renounce you, I renounce you. And then the person turns east and said, I believe in one God, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. So the renunciation of Satan is real, that we do in baptism. There's a great saint in the church. His name is Saint Hippolytus. He lived in the late 2nd century. And this tells you how powerful baptism was even in the early days of the church. He said, every time you're tempted, every time you're trying to do a sin and you feel that you're weak and, you know, Satan's playing with your head, he said this, do the sign of the cross over your forehead, just like what the priest did on your forehead the day you were baptized. And remind Satan that you do not belong to him. You already have made your renunciation of him and you belong to Christ. My beloved, if we try this in our personal life, it shows us the power truly of Christ in our personal life against those demons. By doing the sign of the cross on our head and committingly remembering that we have committed ourselves to Christ and we no longer belong to Satan and his powers. Also, Bob Shenouda used to say that every time you're tempted by anything or by a friend or by somebody who kind of always draws you to the wrong thing, always learn to say, away from me, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Away from me, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Just like Christ told Satan on the Mount of Temptation. And also remember to always call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that possesses all the power. When we call that name by itself have power. God willing, we'll have an entire sermon on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is safe, from Proverbs 18:10. I just want to give you some practical advice in literally 30 seconds. If you don't remember anything I said today, remember what I'm about to say. First advice to everyone, everyone. Do not open the doors for Satan. Do not open doors for the evil one. Do not provoke them. Do not do things you know you're not supposed to do. Do not talk to people you know you're not supposed to talk to. Do not do things that you know are going to lead you in the wrong path. Do not open the doors to Satan. And that could be simply hanging out with the wrong group, or trying something out for the first time, or trying to be cool and losing perspective of what's important. The second advice to you is stay away from anger. Have you ever wondered why when somebody's angry, his face looks different and he says things he never says before and he's doing things he never does before? Did you ever wonder why? Because when we're angry, we're literally under bondage. We're literally under the control of the demons. Our face will look the same. Our words are not the same. Our actions are not the same, because we are not ourselves. We're under somebody else's domain. That's why we must stay away from anger. We must stay away from anger. Third point, remember what St. Anthony did last time when I told you last week, that in our weakness, when we acknowledge our weakness before God every day, God, I'm weak. Keep me from temptation. God, I'm nothing. Help me. God, protect me from anything that's not beneficial for me. In that weakness, God is able to save us from every temptation and from all the power of the evil ones. May God grant us power over the demons to deliver us from every temptation which is set against us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.